It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. This weekend's show will focus on the City of Angels Camp. The city recently approved a new budget that funds priorities for the next year. We're going to hear about projects and initiatives in the city. In studio, we're pleased to be joined by the mayor of Angels Camp, Michael Chimente, and the recently appointed new city administrator for Angels Camp, Pam Karanangan. It's great to have both of you in studio with us here today.
Thank you, BJ.
Good morning, BJ.
So for anybody who's not familiar with both of you and don't know your background, tell us about yourself and how you became involved in city government. I'll start first with Mayor Chimente.
I was a school administrator. I was a superintendent at Bret Harte for 16 years. I was a superintendent for over 26 years, also serving as a superintendent of Vallecito Union Elementary School District. Started my teaching career at Columbia Elementary and received my administrative credential, then worked for Calaveras Unified for 10 years, then moved on to be a superintendent. After retirement, I was appointed to the Calaveras County Planning Commission. And when the seat became open and vacated at Angels Camp, it was something I've always wanted to do. So I applied for the position and was selected. So, and then ran for election in 2024 and was elected to a 4-year term.
And City Administrator Karanangan, tell us about yourself and how you became involved with the City of Angels Camp.
So my background has been an analyst. So while I was working on my college degree, I was working for the City of Long Beach under the Economic Development Bureau for 5 years. And then I moved on to the state as a state tax auditor for multi-state corporations, so Fortune 1000 companies that I audited. Then moved on to the private sector for a little while. My heart belongs to the civil service, so I went back to the city of San Jose in 07 and had worked in various departments such as Parks and Rec, the police department, and the city clerk's office. Moved on to the city of Milpitas to become the deputy city clerk over there, and then moved on to Rio Vista as the public works program manager. And became the city clerk in Rio Vista, and the opportunity for Angels Camp came. And I went ahead after a series of interviews. I sat down with the council, and I was very thankfully selected. And it's been a very, very good ride ever since. It's like drinking from a fire hose, as they say.
Yeah, so any early observations just about the city and how it all runs?
One thing that I remember was when I moved Valentine's Day to Angels Camp. And my son and I were pretty much looking at the deer that walked around the you know, right down the backyard. And it was just like very nice. It's like, you know, one of the things that my son said was like, Mom is really nice over here. So I have a 15-year-old boy who I, you know, so everybody's been warm and welcoming and they've been civically engaged. And so it's all good around, and a lot of people have shared their hopes and dreams and aspirations for a better city. They want to embrace and continue to have that quality of life that they've enjoyed.
Good to hear. You know, getting into kind of the nitty-gritty of the budget now, there is a new fiscal year for the City of Angels Camp. I'll go over to Mayor Chimente. You know, tell us about that and some of the highlights.
First of all, I want to thank our finance director, Michelle Gonzalez. She takes a very conservative approach. And she looks at trends, especially income trends, or that feed into our budget. We have a balanced budget. We're fiscally solvent, and we have a healthy reserve. I am optimistic about the future. However, we need to be conservative, especially when we're trending local sales tax and the transient occupancy tax that we receive, to make sure that they stay on mark with what we perceive. But we do budget conservatively, and so yeah, again, we have a balanced budget, and we look forward to the future. Pam,
okay.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, so just to hop on to what Mayor Chimente had said, I'd like to thank our finance director, Michelle, and her team. I also like to thank all the department heads that we've had. All of them, year after year, had consecutively chosen to be frugal. They don't do major ask. They do what is necessary. And so for that, I really thank all of them for that. And staff has been wonderful and very frugal about the whole thing. And just to clarify about, since we're talking about budget, I think it's also important to talk about revenue. And some members of the community were like asking me, hey, how come you're spending money on this? Like, how come if the city has this much money to spend on one item, how come you can't fix the roads or do this or do that? And I just wanted to reiterate the fact that unlike a household budget where you have one pot, in government what happens is there's multiple pots and multiple sources and multiple ways on how you should spend. So the word earmarking is a term where it's used that you can only spend the money for a certain amount of time for a certain purpose. So a good example is if we got federal grants, which we apply for, or state, we can only spend it for a certain project and for certain instances, and then we have to use general fund budget. So I'd like to educate the public to be mindful about that one. So so far we've been balancing a lot, and aside from that, since I've been on board in February, we've been very actively seeking grants to add to the general fund, help with our budget, on top of the fact that we're already, we're already very solid.
So grant funding is a big part of the city. Where are the other revenue funds that come to the city and that are used for services?
Well, one example is our enterprise fund, our water, wastewater, that we collect from our rate payers. That goes into a special fund, and we currently are working on capital improvement projects. About 9 months ago, we allocated approximately $10 million for capital improvement projects, and we have completed two, and we're looking to complete. We just, at last night's city council meeting, approved, we let a contract to Neerich & Sons to upgrade a sewer line down Purdy Road, and we're looking at others. So, you know, with the collection of those fees, we're starting to put back into our infrastructure to improve our infrastructure. So that's an example. Another example of funds that we receive are Measure A funds. It was that the sales tax increase passed by the Calaveras County and our local citizens to improve fire. And with those additional dollars, we have upgraded our fire department to a 3-0 staffing, which is a standard. And 3-0 staffing, BJ, means that we have three. We have a captain, a firefighter, and an engineer on the truck. And before we only had two, and we had to wait for the third engine or a second engine to come in to respond. We now can respond to an incident. So, you know, those dollars have allowed us to upgrade our fire department. So there again, those are special funds that can only be used for a specific purpose.
There's a couple more that I can think of. It's TOT.
Right.
Transit occupancy taxes. So that would be Airbnbs, hotels, which we have a little, and other entities that are kind of like, you know, that have like short-term stay. Mm-hmm. And of course, like, you know, you have your gas tax and you have your sales tax and you have your property tax. So those handful of components. Right. Then grants are considered as revenue also in the government world. And as I said earlier, grants, they're very specific funds for a very specific purpose.
Well, and, you know, as an example of some funds that we received from the state, in 2017, SB1, the Road Repair and Accountability Act, was passed. And that's, we call it the gas tax. And, each county receives and each city receives a portion from the state controller to maintain their roads. And the city has been allocated $355,000 for roads. And at our June 15th meeting, we allocated a list of projects for road improvement. So there again, you know, the city is getting money back and for a specific purpose, and this purpose is to improve our roads. And so our citizens should see our roads being improved according to the list that was approved.
You take a quick break. We're talking about the City of Angels Camp on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined in studio by the mayor of Angels Camp, Michael Chimente, as well as the city administrator, Pam Karen-Ongan. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We're focusing on the City of Angels Camp. We're pleased to be joined in studio by the City Administrator for Angels Camp, Pam Karanongan, as well as the Mayor of Angels Camp, Michael Chimente. City Administrator Karanongan, I'll pose next question to you. You mentioned a little bit about how the city receives its revenues. A couple of those avenues are sales tax and transient occupancy tax. Ties a little bit into how the economy is faring. You know, what have you been noticing when it comes to revenues? Are they kind of going up, down, or what's the latest trends?
There's a downward tick on revenues as analyzed by our finance director. And it's not just in City of Angels. It's happening on all across the county and all across the nation. And it's on a macro scale. A lot of things are moving those pieces. So what's happening is that when that happens, cities implement measures, avenues, ways so that they can kind of turn the tide, hopefully to turn that downward tick into at least a neutral one or even upward. And one solution for one city does not necessarily work for another. And so cities are challenged to create good opportunities for themselves to weather that storm. So City of Angels, I'm very thankful. We've been busy for the past, we're going to be busy for the next 6 months with a lot of great opportunities that's happening on the horizon. And it all started with, like, you know, the opening of the park, which people are really, you know, very happy about. Lots of smiling faces. We're looking forward to the decertification of Foundry Lane, which will open up that avenue and open up development on that other side after Starbucks. I don't know if you're familiar with that area.
So tell us a little bit about that. What do you mean by decertification and opening up more development?
So the decertification process has to do with Amy Augustine, our city planner. I hope you forgive me if I don't explain this properly. But what it is that the decertification process is a process that you go through before Caltrans, asking them, "May I go ahead and open this road? Will you allow us to open this road to develop so that we can, our cars that are entering this lot or this property can go?" And so what's happening for the past 25 plus years, three sides of that development had been blocked and rendered technically, like, you know, inaccessible. And so if the decertification happens, it improves the circulation on that area because it opens up everything. So police, fire, public works vehicles can go. Aside from that, you have circulation from customers that can go. Because of that, development will be now opening there because you have an avenue to go in and out. And technically, when you do that, when there's more development, that equates to more sales and it equates to more revenue. So we're hoping that
it's going to give us access off of Highway 4 right before the intersection of Highway 4 and 49. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, if Caltrans allows us, we can put a left-hand turn lane that allow us to access Foundry Lane, and which then working with the current owner of the shopping center will allow them another entrance into their shopping center besides off of Main Street and Highway 49. So it's an exciting project. Mm-hmm. Plus, it you know, when you talk about public safety, it's going to allow another route for not only fire and police, but also for our citizens to evacuate if we had to, God forbid. Mm-hmm. So it's a long-term project that hopefully will be well-received by Caltrans, and we can move forward with that development.
Mayor Chimente, speaking of Caltrans, what is kind of going on with Safe Street projects and other initiatives like that?
Thanks for asking. And I do want to thank Caltrans for listening to our citizens in an effort. The contract was a $7 million contract. It was awarded to George Reed. And I will, there were a number of highlights areas that will be taken care of. They're going to reconstruct sidewalks, curbs, ramps, and driveways with landscape buffers. They're going to construct new sidewalks with landscape buffers to Utica Park, upgrade existing sidewalks, replace road signs, and stripe bike lanes. Again, it's a $7 million project. It'll take approximately 200 days. When George Reed first mobilized in terms of keeping our citizens safe and their workers safe, there were probably too many cones put up or too many safeguards put up. And in working with Caltrans and George Reed, they removed those barriers. And so this morning, if you have been in downtown, it looks completely different than it did. And again, you know, this project's like a kitchen remodel. You know, it's a little painful in the beginning, but the end result would be beautiful. And we appreciate everything that George Reed's going to do and Caltrans is doing to beautify our city. So it's going to truly improve all aspects of our city, especially safety. And one of my biggest concerns has always been the crosswalks, and it's going to make it easier. Visibility is going to increase for pedestrian safety. So we are excited about that.
Also, we just kind of glanced over Utica Park, but a question for either one of you. You know, if people haven't had a chance to go out and see that, I know a lot of people have. Can you give us kind of an overview of what's all been upgraded at Utica Park?
Well, you know, we acquired a piece of property next that was adjacent to Utica Park. Now we have a walking trail that people are utilizing. We have an amphitheater. We have, you know, brand new set of play equipment and a fitness center for our adults. We have a new grass area. We've upgraded our kitchen. We have a new bathroom. It's a park that truly has been a project that, you know, from the beginning we've incorporated and viewed. We took very seriously. We had a committee composed of citizens that helped us design the park, and we took their recommendations very seriously. And what you see now is the result of the hard work of a lot of people. And it's a beautiful park. And we're also, you know, the neat thing is this, like the Safe Streets project, when it was going on, there was some confusion and concern. But I think the park has been well received by our community.
Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate the park will kind of grow as a community destination, have more and more events out there?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do.
And any other projects in the new budget that are kind of top of mind?
We need to talk about Eureka Oaks, Habitat for Humanity. Yes. That, you know, they are in the process of constructing 107 new homes at the end of town. The models should be ready shortly. And, you know, that, you know, we thank Habitat for choosing Angels Camp as a place to build this new subdivision. It's going to create affordable housing for our citizens. If you haven't had a chance to tour the facility or look at the models, it's going to be a beautiful addition to our city.
Has housing been a challenge and something that you've heard about from constituents that you need more of?
On a regular basis. Yes. On a regular basis, especially affordable housing. Mm-hmm. On a regular basis.
And City Administrator Karen Gunn, anything else you want to add on topic of housing?
The thing about it is, like, the Eureka Oaks development is close to that Foundry Lane
right.
Desertification area. So it will actually be a very, very great project. Habitat for Humanity folks are looking forward to all of that
right.
development. Exactly. And when you spoken about housing, it's basically a major concern. And there's also talks about the fact, like, you know, when you go about housing, you also talk about, like, you know, the community where people, you raise your kids in a community that you've loved and stuff. And you see when your kids get to be a certain age, they have to go. And they'll say, "Mom, Dad, just for a few years, and then I come back." Mm-hmm. And it was noted last night, and I remember this, then the kids don't come back because they find new right. lives outside. And so as a city, as the council, and as the administrator, we all hear that our citizens want to have that quality of life. And part of that quality of life has to do with the fact that your kids, if they want to stay in the community they grew up in, they can, and they can have, like, good jobs there. Like, you know, they can raise their families there. They can have an affordable house there. And so we're working towards all these steps that we're doing right now, mm-hmm. projects, whatever have you. Mm-hmm. They're small baby steps towards that goal.
And we are looking at annexation and what reasonable growth looks like. And with annexation, can we look at, you know, what kind of industrial development, what kind of jobs can we create for our citizens so that, you know, if a person wants to stay and live in Angels Camp, they can have an income that will support them in staying. You know, there's always a short-term vision and a long-term vision. And, you know, I think we all have learned that, you know, you have to be patient. And with patience comes everything that we can dream and desire. And, you know, and I think the more we hear people talk, the more I think folks in Angels Camp are starting to understand what annexation and growth means, and understands that, you know, there's that balance that we have to achieve when we start to grow. Can we maintain our small town feel, city feel, along with providing the essentials that everyone needs to live and work in the area? So those are exciting times, and these are exciting times, and but it's working together. And it's making sure that we include our stakeholders in decisions that we make so that nothing is a surprise to them as we move forward.
Mm-hmm. Need to take one more break. We're talking about the City of Angels Camp on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined in studio by the Mayor Michael Schimente, as well as the City Administrator Pam Karanongan. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We continue on Motherlode Views this weekend. We're focusing on the City of Angels Camp, joined in studio by the Mayor Michael Schimente and the City Administrator Pam Karanongan. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. I'll go back to you, Mayor Schimente. Kind of a little bit of a changing of the guard on the City Council recently, right?
Yes, there was. And, you know, I want to begin by thanking Isabel Moncada for her service to the citizens and the city. And we wish her the best in her future endeavors. The council decided to do, there were four ways to fill the seat, and the council decided to cast a net and seek applications. We had three applicants that were interviewed last night during our city council meeting: Michael Zilke, Kara Scott, Mary Kelly. And we did an interview process that was conducted in open session. Each candidate was interviewed separately, and then we deliberated in open session, and the council decided to appoint Kara Scott to fill Isabel Mancata's position. Anything you'd like to add, Pam?
It was very tough. All three candidates did very well. Council made a decision to appoint Ms. Scott and Council Member Scott now, and we would like to congratulate her.
And thank Michael and Mary Kelly for Michael Zilke and Mary Kelly for applying and showing an interest in serving not only the council but the citizens of Angels Camp.
Mm-hmm. Couple other issues to get to. How about water? I'll go to Mayor Schimente. What's happening on the waterfront right now?
Well, I think the main thing that we've talked about, and we've talked about during the election, and we continue to talk about, is trying to find a redundant water source for Angels Camp. If anybody was around during the Darby fire when the 3/4 mile flume burnt, that's our main water source. And so now we are exploring ways to develop another water source, a redundant water source, in case another catastrophe like that happens. Mm-hmm. Pam?
Yeah, it's not just the Darby fire also, but what happened was the state had a mandate that what happened was is by January of 2027, cities are supposed to determine a plan in terms of redundant water sources. And so it's not just based on the experiences that Angels Camp had, the City of Angels had when it comes to the Darby fire. It's also because of the mandate. And also the fact that we want to have our citizens have clean drinking water. at any and all times, no matter what happens. And so the city council had directed staff to do a research on any and all possible water sources that will fall as redundant and present those options to council. So far, hopefully, the aim of staff is to give that report by the end of this year.
We've also talked on past shows about the Utica FERC exemption. Is that something the city is watching closely?
Oh, we are, and we're very excited. We're real close. If we haven't filed with FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, an exemption to for our two power plants. And BJ, as you've noted in the past, if we were to build these two powerhouses today, they would be exempt from FERC regulations. So we're excited about that. I mean, what it'll do two things. If we don't get the exemption, it's about a $10 million process to get relicensed. And if we do get the good side, you know, that my glass is half full, the dollars that we're allocating towards this exemption, then they can go back into the regular Utica budget, which would hopefully lower our ratepayers' rates. So we're excited about it. And I want to thank the Utica board for their work, and Joe Metzger, who recently resigned and has a job with the state, for all their work in pursuing this exemption.
Well, Mayor Schmette and City Administrator Karen Gunn, we've talked about a number of items, talked about development, housing, traffic, all kinds of different things. Anything else right now that's top of mind that's keeping you busy? How about you, Mayor Schmette?
So one of the things that we're exploring is, as all of our residents know, both Tuolumne County and Calaveras County are first preference customers for the power being generated from the New Maloney's Dam. And I know that Tuolumne County has explored this. And the City of Angels is looking to explore community choice aggregation, which could reduce our power rates, which on the surface, you wonder how, but a third party purchases power from PG&E and then resells that power to its residents. Residents, it's a voluntary program, and there are a number of counties and cities that have moved to community choice aggregation. And it's something that I think is least worth exploring, especially if it will save our citizens some dollars.
How about City Administrator Karen Ongan, the Angels Camp Farmers Market that's back at the old familiar place now, right?
Yeah, so what happened was it was in the museum as it started off, but starting this Friday, it's moving back to Utica Park. And so, a lot of excitement going there. So they're happy to be back in their old home. And then we also have the space needs assessment where council had directed staff to look into all our citywide facilities and our departments and as to where should we be housed, including City Hall. And so staff has been busy with that one.
You know, one of the things that I appreciate most about living in a small city is that, you know, I don't think we sometimes celebrate everything that we do. And as in a small city, we provide all the services that are being provided in a big city. And we do it with a smile on our face. And hopefully what we keep in mind is that our citizens are our most important resource. And that hopefully the services that we provide them are done in a friendly manner so that everyone knows that what we do is appreciated by everyone else.
And for everybody who's curious, who wants to come out to city council meetings, when are do those take place and where are the locations?
Those are during the first and third Tuesdays, starting at 6 o'clock at the Angels Camp Fire Department on Vallecito Road.
Vallecito Road.
Anybody who's interested is more than welcome to come out and share their opinions and voices on different issues.
Of course. Yeah,
and we still live stream so that people can tune in remotely, which is probably one of the best things that's happened from COVID, is that the ability to use technology to connect with people who may not be able to attend
in person. Well, I appreciate both of your time here this morning, getting us up to speed on everything that's going on in Angels Camp. Mayor Schmette, anything you'd like to add as we close today?
No, I just appreciate this opportunity. Thank you. And, you know, while we think we're doing a great job with communication, we always can do better. And I appreciate you allowing us this opportunity to spread the good news about Angels Camp.
And City Administrator Karen Ongen, it's been great meeting you for the first time here today. And any closing comments you'd like to make?
It's great to meet you too, BJ. But thank you for having Mayor Chimente and me in this. And I'd like to thank all the listeners. I'd like to thank everybody. And a special shout out to our residents at Angels Camp. Thank you very much for all the support and the patience, especially during that time that we upgraded our system.
Yeah.
So Mayor Chimente had mentioned something about improving our systems and with a smile on our face. So we just recently improved our systems, and I just cannot thank you enough for your patience and your support. So thank you very much for doing that all the time for us.
We thank our guests today from the City of Angels Camp, the City Administrator, Pam Karen Ongen, and the Mayor, Michael Chimente. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.